You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
My native country is Seoul, Korea. You know, South Korea, I should say, back in Seoul. And as far as I can remember, around 2 years old, my halmoni, my grandma, constantly reminded us that kimchi is the healthiest food on earth. Now, this was over 52 years ago, and since then, I've been eating a variety of kimchi every day. Although my grandmother never mentioned the word probiotics, she did say that it was the best for our digestion and long life. Now, she was right. I really believe that because she lived until she was 104. Today, most people have heard of the word probiotics, such as acidophilus, and take it as a supplement or in foods such as yogurt, sauerkraut, kefir, and of course, kimchi. But, you know, have you heard of the word spore-form probiotic? Spore-form probiotic. Now, most probably not. Now, we have Dr. Tom Bain here on Wellness for Life. He's a functional medicine chiropractic physician who specializes in nutritional therapies, primarily around digestive health and detoxification. He's also the CEO of Megaspore Biotic, the developer of spore probiotic that strengthens the immune system to help fight infections, but that can also naturally make a high level of bioavailable antioxidants within your own digestive system. Welcome, Dr. Tom. So happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Suzanne. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Now, let's jump right in, Dr. Tom. Now, what is spore-form probiotic?
So, spore-form probiotic describes that during the life cycle of certain bacteria, when they're in an environment that's not hospitable for them, they have the ability to form a robust spore so that they can survive a difficult environment. And so there's a certain category of bacteria, bacillus strains, that they can form a spore when they're in an environment that's not conducive to them being happy and having a supply of food for themselves. And so when they have the ability to form this spore, it makes them very resistant to their environment, and it allows them to survive harsh environments like our digestive tract. And so many of the spore-form probiotics show the ability to survive through the GI tract because they're in spore form. So that's how they're able to get past the harsh environment of the stomach acid and arrive in the gastrointestinal tract alive.
So spore form then, if we look at, you know, what it looks like, let's say under a microscope, is it look like a little egg, like a cyst, like a seed?
You know what? I think of it more like a walnut shell because, you know, an egg, you just pound on it and it cracks open. You know, a walnut shell, you smack it pretty hard and it's very robust. The spore is able to survive very low pH, very acidic pH. It's able to survive radiation. It's able to survive antibiotics. It's able to survive in really harsh environments. We've actually cooked the spores at 455 degrees for over 15 minutes and then checked them, and they're still able to survive. So the spore is what makes them so robust.
So then, obviously, what you're saying is it's resilient against any forms of harsh environment, of course, our stomach. And so it can go down into our intestinal tract, especially the colon, where most of our good bacteria live, and then it'll transform. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. And so within 6 minutes of being in the upper part of the small intestine, it comes out of its spore form and goes into its active state, and it goes through, and as it passes through the GI tract, it reconditions the bowel. It helps get rid of pathogenic bacteria and pathogenic yeast as it works its way through. And so the issue that's out there is a lot of people have bought into the idea that I'm going to eat these probiotics and they're going to reseed my bowel. They're going to go in and they're going to live in my digestive tract. It's really just not supported by science. You know, you talked about the kimchi and the yogurts and the kefirs and things like that. Those are great fermented foods. Fermented foods offer ferment. The ferment is what the bacteria makes. It's truthfully the waste products that the bacteria make while they're pre-digesting the food. So when the milk is becoming yogurt, the bacteria are digesting the proteins and making waste products that we call the ferment. The ferment is very good for our digestive tract. It's very balancing, very calming, but it's transient. It just moves through, and it benefits us while it's there. But if we don't eat it every day, or if we don't consume it every day, we lose the benefits. There really aren't any probiotic benefits to those types of fermented foods. There are very much the fermented benefits, but not the probiotic benefits.
That's a really good point to make, that it's not just, I mean, it's the action of what the probiotic is creating within your gut is what really what you want. So then exactly. The terrain or the soil, let's say, the soil of your digestive system, is as important as the bacteria itself. Soil meaning what it produces. It's endotoxins or just the byproducts of metabolism, their own metabolism.
Every bit. If you're in your garden and you have these beautiful flowers, but you're planting them in dirty soil or soil that has no nutrition to it, your plants aren't going to survive. And so that's exactly to your point, is how do we recondition the bowel? How do we create an environment that's conducive for the good bacteria that you got from your mom to thrive, for it to grow, and for it to increase its concentration and its numbers? That's science. You know, we can do things to our bowel to improve the numbers of bacteria. We can't put good bacteria back in. That's just not supported by science. They don't survive. Many of the probiotics that are grown, the lactobacillus and bifidobacteria products that are grown today, they're grown in aerobic conditions. They're grown in deep fermentation vats in aerobic conditions. Yet the bacteria that live in our digestive tract, the lactobacillus and bifidobacteria that live in our GI tracts, are largely anaerobic organisms. So even if you could get past the survivability thing, you still have a bacteria that doesn't breathe the same air that's in that environment, or the lack of air, if you will. So it's kind of like planting fish in your garden. You know, they just don't breathe air. So it's an interesting aspect, the way that we've accepted this as truth. I'm going to eat these bugs and they're going to go live in my gut. But when you really get down to it, and the Human Microbiome Project really opened up a lot of people's eyes, that you just can't do that. You just don't. Your stomach just doesn't let bacteria pass through to go live in the GI tract. I think we'd all die of intestinal infections if that were the case.
Well, Dr. Tom, there's something that, though, you know, I've got to ask, because there's no doubt in my practice of 28 years, you know, a majority, and I'm talking about like 26 years of it, I've been supporting my patients to eat fermented foods and take probiotics. And there's no doubt that symptomatology-wise, clinically, I see the change. They feel better. They have less gas. They can sleep better. They have less anxiety. I mean, there's definitely positive responses when you take probiotics and eat fermented foods. But what you're saying is that when the whole idea of changing your native flora, meaning you mentioned it comes from your mother when you come out through the vagina, and you know, you have it on your skin and your eyes and in your mouth and your nose as a newborn, that is your native, and that's something that you cannot change. I want to just be clear about that.
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with everything you're saying. And I've been doing this for the same amount of time that you've been doing it. And long before I started working with spore-based probiotics, a lot of the people in my community referred to me as the gut guy. You know, he's a guy, he can help you with your gut symptoms. And so I've been working with fermented foods and working with probiotics for a long period of time. There's tons of research out there showing that certain strains of lactobacillus and bifidobacteria help with certain symptoms and things like that. And so I'm not disputing any of that, okay? But what we're disputing is the bridge that was built, okay? So these bugs, I take these lactobacillus and bifidobacteria, and my symptoms of IBS go away. They improve, or my eczema improves. Okay, so I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that finding. I'm not disputing that's not a reality. What I'm disputing is the bridge that where they say, well, and the reason that worked is because the bugs went down and they lived in my GI tract and they colonized the intestinal tract. No, sorry, that's not true. It's dead cell therapy. When you take the fermented foods and when you take the lactobacillus and bifidobacteria products, it's dead cell therapy. Dead cell therapy has benefits. I don't dispute that. There's lots of research that shows symptom improvement. But the problem is that that symptom improvement is transient. The minute you stop the product, the symptoms go away. And a lot of times, in the middle of your therapy, you're 1 month, 2 months, 3 months into therapy, and all of a sudden the probiotics don't work anymore. And the reason is because you're not reconditioning the bowel. You're not changing the environment. You're giving a transient effect. As the dead bacteria pass through, they change the pH. There's a healthy pH shift. Due to the dead bacteria, and certain highly specific strains of lacto and bifido trigger certain immune reactions at the Peyer's patches and the gall, the immune system of your gut. And so we're not disputing that. What we're disputing is the idea of calling them probiotics. According to the World Health Organization, in order to call something a probiotic, it has to be able to survive the gastrointestinal tract and arrive alive. So that's why none of the lactobifido products are called probiotics in Europe or in the UK specifically, because they hold to the World Health Organization's definitions. So those products are called food supplements there. You can't call it a probiotic because they can't prove survivability. And ultimately, that's it. So the spores, they go in and they recondition the bowel. They get rid of the bad guys. They use quorum sensing to get rid of pathogenic yeast and pathogenic bacteria. And so as they're passing through the GI tract, they're colonizing and they're increasing their numbers in the GI tract. But they, too, are transient organisms. As they start to get to the lower part of the bowel, they re-sporulate in anticipation of leaving through the stool and getting back into the environment. They're environmental organisms. And so they're very active through the GI tract. And that's the difference. So with the lactobifido, you're getting very limited competitive exclusion. The only real competitive exclusion you're getting is with the pH change. And so you're not getting any one-on-one fighting of the bacteria with the pathogens. And you're also not getting any nutrient production. You know, when companies talk about the nutrient productions that happen, B vitamin production, things like that, from lactobifido products, they're basing that on petri dish studies. They don't have any human GI studies that actually show that this is being produced inside the body by the live bacteria. And there's ways to do that, but none of the other probiotic companies do that because, you know, they know that the nutrients are being produced in the petri dish because the bugs are in an aerobic environment and there's no competitive exclusion, there's no acids or anything like that. So they're like, oh, we've got these nutrients being produced. We've been able to show that our bugs are producing all the B vitamins in their methylated form. They're producing coenzyme Q10, nattokinase, vitamin K2. One of the bugs is producing a highly bioavailable carotenoid antioxidant. So it's producing alpha-carotene, beta-carotene, zeaxanthin, astaxanthin, lycopene, and lutein. It's producing those carotenoids at RDA levels right at the site of absorption. We're also the only probiotic that's shown the ability to increase short-chain fatty acids. Now, short-chain fatty acids are hugely important for the colonocytes, the cells of the colon. It's the fuel that helps those cells run, and we don't have the ability to produce it. We're dependent on the bacteria in our gut to make it. We're the only probiotic that's been shown the ability to increase short-chain fatty acids, and we showed a 39% increase in those short-chain fatty acids. That's hugely important for cancer and inflammatory bowel disease, and there's a lot of research in that direction. But at the end of the day, increasing your short-chain fatty acids teaches your body to burn fat for energy. And so you're going from being a sugar burner and a fat store to being a fat burner. And it's much more efficient. And, you know, everybody needs that kind of help.
Oh, so, that's in America, absolutely. I mean, you're giving us so many amazing, you know, pearls here, because the notion of we don't need to take, I mean, yes, we do, we can take probiotics, or I should say these food supplements, as you mentioned, ones that we know about, and fermented foods. But to really improve our immunity of our gut, improve our ability to take in nutrients and have our bacteria make nutrients. This spore probiotic is key to
right.
our health. And but
reseeding,
you know what?
Is dead. Reseeding is dead. It's all about recolonizing.
It's all about reconditioning
now.
But you know what? What I do know, Dr. Tom, is that this bacillus strain is not a big strain in our gut flora. It's not a huge one. You know what I'm saying? What I mean is
no, as far as numbers, right?
Yes, yes. So tell me about that. That's like fascinating. It's so small in numbers, but the power of it is huge.
But you know what? I think of it this way. Okay, so you think how many people live in Los Angeles? You know. And then compare that to the number of police that are in Los Angeles. So from a percentage-wise, it's a much smaller percentage of people. But what do the police do? Well, they're out there. They're trying to keep the streets safe. They're policing the community. They're keeping it clean. They're keeping the bad guys out. And so, you know, I know in today's society that's probably not the greatest of analogies. But, you know, the point is that we have co-evolved with these organisms. Everywhere we look in ancestral environments, ice core studies, in fossilized ambers where we're finding creatures that still have brine in their stomach where we can extract these live organisms from them. Everywhere we look, these organisms have been part of our evolution. And so when you look at it, they go into our GI tracts, they clean it out, they create an environment that's conducive for the bacteria we got for our mom to thrive. They leave us better than we were when they went in. And but then they leave because they've got to get back out in the environment and they've got to do their job in other animals, humans, mammals, whatever else. So they're kind of universal probiotics. Every animal, every insect that we've looked at has receptor sites for these organisms. So even though they are small in concentration and in numbers, they're the ones that are really creating the environment that's conducive for us to create a healthy environment in our GI tracts, or in a mosquito's GI tract, or in a badger's GI tract. I mean, everything we've looked at has these receptor sites for these organisms.
How do we eat this type of bacteria or spore probiotic in the environment?
Well,
what I mean is, like, food wise.
You talked about your 104-year-old grandmother. I mean, that's an amazing story, you know, and that what a great way to start off this conversation. But let me tell you something. When your grandmother ate an apple, there were spores on it. Okay, it was part of her natural environment. That's no longer where we're at. Poor farming practices, pesticides, herbicides, insecticides have completely depleted our soil of these microorganisms. The initial harvesting of these organisms, we had to go to the highlands of Scotland and the soil in Scotland to find pristine organisms to be able to use them as our base. And so we couldn't just go into our communities and find these microorganisms. First of all, they're lacking if they're there at all. Secondly, they've been polluted with chemicals and things like that. So we don't get them anymore. And that's the main challenge is that, you know, there's nowhere we can go into our environment and get a lot of these. Now, if we go to Asia or if we go to a Japanese restaurant and we can get some natto, natto contains high concentrations of one of the strains that's in Megaspore, Bacillus subtilis. It also contains very high concentrations of vitamin K2. It's one of the only, it's the highest food form of vitamin K2. But we really can't get these bugs anywhere in our environment because of how we've treated the planet over the last 60 years with the farming practices and the chemicals that we've been using. So that's why it's kind of a necessity to have it as a supplement. The good thing, though,
obviously,
go ahead.
you've done all the research. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, Dr. Tom. I know some of your background. We became friends just recently, but I looked you up because I was really interested in your work. I've been touting about probiotics and of course gut health has been a big part of my life and my son's life and all my patients' life. So you doing this research on these megaspores, obviously for you it's a big passion. You want to help millions of people out there. What I do know is that this is a product that's only available through physicians. So people are listening, whether you are a someone who wants to, as a consumer, they have to ask their doctor to order this, don't they?
Correct. And if they go to our website, so our website's gomegaspore.com. If they go to our website, we've got a list of doctors in your area that that sell the product, that carry the product in their pharmacies. But you're right, the point of differentiation, because we can sit here and I can be a salesman all I want. I can talk, I could be a good talker. But really what it comes down to is the clinical studies. And at the end of this year, we will have more human clinical trials done than any other probiotic company that's out there. Now, that's more of a sad statement about the probiotic industry than it is about what a great guy I am. We're doing clinical studies because we're research nerds to begin with. We got into this from a research angle. You know, we thought when we started studying these bugs that everybody would just jump in, but unfortunately, many of the companies that are out there are too vested in their lactobacillus and bifidobacteria stories. So they didn't want to change their whole story, in mid-game. So we started our own company. And it's the clinical trials that are separating us from everything. We did the first human leaky gut study, and we showed that in 30 days we could seal up a leaky gut without any change in lifestyle or any change in diet. Now, I don't recommend that. I recommend that patients change their lifestyle and their diet, but to show that kind of shift in a human study, that's unheard of. And what has made us such a fast-growing company.
Let's go to that, because I don't want to skim over this, Dr. Tom. What you're saying is a huge, huge, significant information. Millions of people suffer from leaky gut or gut permeability issues. And from the gut permeability, we end up having allergies to environmental illnesses, to autoimmune diseases, to even diabetes, Alzheimer's. It's all related, inflammatory conditions in our body. It's all related to
cardiovascular disease, cancer.
Exactly.
I mean, it's crazy.
It is. So what you're telling us that if we start taking this spore biotic, or I should say the spore probiotic from you, and that it actually will seal up that permeability, heal up those tight junctions so that some of the symptomatology will subside and even prevent disease in the future. I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
Exactly. It decreased the inflammation in the GI tract, get rid of the infections, because a lot of the leaky gut is coming from yeast that's punching holes in the intestinal tract. And so first we're clearing out the cause of why the holes are happening in the first place. Second of all, then we're sealing up the holes that are already there. And so we're doing that in 30 days. Now, that was a trial that we finished late last year and is being published in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And so we've now started putting together the same trial, doing it over 90 days and doing it in twice as many patients. Why are we doing that? Because we saw in the placebo group, we saw a worsening of their situation. We saw that their leaky guts were getting worse over time. And so showing that the leaky gut is a progressive condition. So that's the next phase of studies that we're going to be jumping into here in August. At the University of North Texas. And so it's really cutting edge stuff. And we think that leaky gut is ground zero for everything. I mean, if you Google metabolic endotoxemia, which is leaky gut, and you type in autoimmune disease, you type in cardiovascular disease, you type in cancer, you type in any GI condition, you type in anything, it shows up. There is research, HIV and AIDS. HIV enteropathy is basically leaky gut. And that's why the National Institute of Health is looking into our product and considering doing a study with HIV patients, because we've shown the ability to seal this up, and they know that HIV enteropathy, that leaky gut in the HIV patient, is a better indicator of morbidity and mortality even than viral load. So the implications for this are huge, and there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of companies out there saying, oh, we fix leaky gut. Great. Call me. I'll give you the professor's name at the University of North Texas. He's got a human model. Test it. Stop telling people you do something without having a clinical trial to prove it. Mm. Okay, this is a cost-effective, easy to do study. If you've got a product that fixes leaky gut, stop showing me petri dish studies. Stop showing me assumptions. Show me a human clinical trial that fixes it. Okay, right now we're the only ones that have it, but there's a lot of people out there that are talking about leaky gut. Let's put it to the test. Maybe there's three or four things that we can all put together and really do a bang up job of fixing the leaky gut. You know, really, or seal it up quicker, or whatever it might be. So there's too much talk and not enough research. And I think that really, when you look at the growth that we've had in the last 4 years, it's around one thing. We walk into a doctor's show and we say, where's your clinical trial? Here's ours. What do you think? It's not hard. Doctors want the research. They want to be able to tell their patients, hey, this product's been studied. And here's the human study that shows. And so that's what they're looking for. And that's why we've had such unprecedented growth in the last 3-4 years, is because we're research first. We don't spend money on marketing. We spend money on research. And that's the main difference between our company and all the other companies that are out there.
Before we finish up here, because we only have a few more minutes here, do practitioners, doctors have to go to the same website to get information from you?
Yeah, that's the best place right now. We're actually doing an internet website overhaul, and that should be done, you know, coming up in the next week or so. We should have a new thing. But if you go to the old website, it will redirect you to the new website.
Got it.
GoMegaSpore.com.
That's your website. There's one other thing. We mentioned about, you know, regarding probiotics or lactobacillus, bifidus strains. We've got to take it regularly because it's a transient formula. It comes in and out. But how about for spore probiotics like yours? Do we have to take that forever?
So the difference with the lactobacillus and bifidobacteria, they're just dead as they're passing through. So they're not really transient. They're dead. They give a transient benefit. The spore-based probiotics, as they pass through, they're alive. They're colonizing. They're reproducing while they're in there. But they are transient organisms. They move through. They're environmental organisms that spend some time in the GI tract cleaning it out and then get back into the environment. So to answer your question, do we need to take it forever? So, you know, if you're somebody with a chronic autoimmune disease or chronic gastrointestinal tract, yeah, you're going to be taking it for a while. But people with acute symptoms or symptoms that clear up quickly, they're able to go to a maintenance dose. So they're able to take the product weekly instead of daily. So we typically tell people to take two capsules a day, but take it 2 or 3 times a week instead of taking it daily.
Got it. So 2 capsules a day is an average amount. If you've got severe inflammatory condition, would you do more than 2 capsules a day?
Honestly, I haven't really. The only thing that I ever take more is when I feel like I'm going into a situation and everybody has the flu. Then I'll take a little bit more. But other than that, I just stick to the 2 caps a day. That seems to be the clinical dose.
Wonderful. Oh, my God. You got such great information, Dr. Tom. Really enjoyed our conversation. So I put a link on my Wellness for Life radio show page on Radio MD. All right. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.